Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
He's saying from that apostasy, you've got to resist those you see living falsely.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
We have, for the last few weeks, been talking about people living by faith, and even last week, talked about those dying for their faith as martyrs. But I'd like to take that same sense of the term of perilous, and it's the same idea in a world way. Morally and spiritually and politically, you see these days as well on a bigger picture. And that same sense of difficult, painful days is what Paul made reference to in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'd like to draw your attention to this passage because this is another illustration of people that needed to live by faith. And in these days in which we live, we are in a place that we need to live as it is last days. Notice what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 when he says, "This also know that in the last days perilous times will come." Now, this is not a prophetic message per se, but we are in the last days. In other words, the last day spoken between the end when Christ went up to heaven, between there and his return someday to this earth for his church. And Paul here, over the next 9 verses, he describes or he gives marks of these last days. And I'd like to draw your attention to this particular passage because I think it's important. I'm going to tell you why it's important. It's important for you and I to identify, are we living in last days? Are the descriptions that you find in this particular passage any similarities to the days in which we live? And I would say to you, yes, there is. And out of that, Paul also says, these are activities and directives or mandates that I want to give to you that you need in order to have to be that faithful witness and for you to be able to live by faith. Listen, you as a Christian will not be able to live in this world in which Paul paints, the world that we are now living in our world are genuinely perilous days. And God says, I will give you freedom. I'll give you freedom to live within these last days, Christian, if you would take the mandates and the directives I'm going to give to you. And if you don't take them, you are going to get sucked into the darkness in which you live. And the reason I want to walk through is only because God sees fit to document this is the days in which we live. And if we miss it, then we will end up missing the genuine hope that God says you can have. And this is how you've got to live in the last days. What does he say? Notice the marks, if you would, of this, what I call dangerous season, because this is exactly the term that's used. For men, first of all, should be lovers of their own selves. He also says the world is covetous. Literally, it loves things and uses people. It's not loving people and using things. Notice in your Bible, he goes on to say, they are boasters. They are, in other words, they're proud. He also goes on, as you'll notice in verse 3, in the context of family, he says it's disobedient parents, they're unthankful, they're unholy, they're without natural affection. He goes on painfully as you read through this list, feeling deeper and deeper into it, when he says there are truce breakers. They're incontinent. The term means without self-control. The more I read the Bible, the more it unveils that we're living in a world in which is totally opposed to your Christianity, my friend. And if you don't realize it, you are missing what God is trying to say to us. You need to make a difference. You find that God goes on to say, let me unfold for you, as painful and as difficult as it is, but as truthful as it is. He says they're not just incontinent, but he says they're fierce. You know why he uses the word fierce? Because the very word fierce means brutal. It means untamed. It means the opposite of being civilized. Could it be that the brutality that shows up in even killing of people, our jails and prisons are full, but could it be that God also knew in his foreknowledge that it also included abortion? 4,500 little babies killed every single day, and that's in our country alone, much less the world. You don't think that's brutal and end up taking little children and ripping them out of the womb of a person? Why did God say that in these days there's going to be brutality? We've reclassified little babies as non-persons. You find as well that the Bible goes on to say they're despisers of those that are good. In other words, they're not loving anything that's good. You know what that means? They don't end up liking things that are good and right and kind and things that are morally right. You don't find in our country today, like it was 100 years ago, that the heroes of the community were missionaries or pastors or moms that love their children, trying to stay at home and take care of them, or trying to be committed to a family. That's certainly not the case today, at least the magazines that I pick up and read. It's not like, yes, the family, number one. You end up reading, the Bible goes on to state, it's not just that they're incontinent and fierce and they're despisers of those that are good, but you end up finding they're saying they're traitors. They're treacherous. They're betraying others and they can't be trusted. They're heady. They're rash, in other words. They're disposed towards recklessness. They're high-minded. They're puffed up. Literally, they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Those descriptions, really, you could apply to the business world today. Some of you work in the day-to-day world of business, and you would amen every one of these. You can't turn around and trust every single person in business. They tell you one thing, and you come to find out they've done totally something different. All for reasons are going to benefit their own company. Thankfully, there are businesses out there today that are still working off of integrity. I don't want to imply none of them are, but most of the people I talk to in the workaday world say, Pastor, as a Christian, you don't know how difficult it is every day. It's more and more difficult because you don't know who to trust. You can't trust anybody. That whole concept of perilous times simply means you don't know which way to turn, what to do, and who to trust. And he expresses this ultimately, he says in verse 5, when he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He says they have a form of godliness. There's religion, but no righteousness. Listen, we don't have a shortage of religion, my friend, in the whole world. But why is it the crime continually increases? Because literally they have form without force. That's where we get the term having a shape, or we get the word morphed. It starts to look like something, but it's really not. That's why he says in verse 6 and 7 about women that are silly women, they're literally liberated women. They're laden with sin. And he uses that as the false religion that produces this. This is not talking about giddy women, by the way. They're just weak-willed, and they lend themselves to that weakness. If you want to put three words down, describe these women. They're gullible, they're guilty, and they're grasping because they will all believe in anything. You put up anything, they'll believe it. Why in the world do you have magazines at every checkout counter? Unbelievable stories. Elvis is alive. Really? I believe that. Sure. Yeah. There's a gullibleness about people that you get to the point of saying, do they believe like anything and everything? Why does the Bible go on to state when he mentions in verse 7, they're ever learning and they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? Look in your Bible. In other words, there's an explosion of knowledge. Facts will increase, but truth won't. And that's why he says verse 8 and 9 about Jannes and Jambres. Really, they were two different magicians during the day of Moses that stood against Moses. They were literally magicians that were trying to imitate Moses' power. And you know what he's saying? That in our last days, the same thing is going to happen. They're going to proceed further and further, for their folly shall be manifest to all men, as theirs also was. And there's groups of people out there that will end up taking that whole occult and magic and spirit world and elevating it to the point as if that's what's driving everything. And you're abnormal if you would stand up and say, you know what, that's not right. You can have someone on a radio end up standing up and saying, you need to go into your own closet of your own bedroom and open the back doors. Go down a small passageway to a small door and open the door, and you'll find a stream and a small rowboat that you need to get in. And it's fit perfectly for you. And you get in this little rowboat and you float endlessly along the waves. Let it take you away. Notice the multiple colors and find your own little world. You think I just made that up? I didn't make that up. I can hear that same statement almost every night on Friday nights around 5 or 6 o'clock. You say, whoa, Pastor, you're on the radio. I know. Just pray for me, okay? Because I'm just pretty burdened about it. He's talking about spirits. He's talking about this right here. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about the Spirit of the Bible. He said, Pastor, you got an axe to grind. I got no axe to grind. I'm just reading what the Bible has to say, honestly. And I end up picking up our world and events that go on, and I end up picking up the Bible, and I go, you know what? What's this parallel here? And ultimately, you've got to realize that I'm not the only one. The Bible's not the only one that recognizes that. I read a simple paragraph of a statement by a leader, a civil servant. He said, quote, "We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we've forgotten God. We vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our own hearts that all of these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. And intoxicated with unbroken success, we've become too proud to pray to the God that made us." You know who made that statement? Abraham Lincoln made that statement just a few years ago. Where in the world are we today? And I'm thankful that God not just says, this is the world in which we live, but that we, if we're just left with this description, and no direction, we get so discouraged. Oh, what are we going to do? And I'm thankful in the midst of all of this that God says, there is some direction you can take. There is some mandates I want to give to you, Timothy, that makes application to a church and makes application to a Christian that you and I can say, you know what? We can make a difference. There can be a difference. What is that? What should we do? And he tucks in this passage very simply. And I identified three. There might be more. Let me give you three of them. What do we do? What do these citizens say? Well, there you go. They end up nothing about it. Hey, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for over the years meeting businessmen and civil leaders that are Christians that stand up and say, this is not right. There is a right and a wrong. And you can't just be tolerant of everybody. I'm thankful for that. But as a Christian, as a church, what do we do? What do you do? Notice what the Bible says. He says it, and he's tucked away. First of all, number one, it's tucked in, verse 5. Notice at the very end of verse 5, and he says, from such, turn away. What is he talking about there? He's saying, from that apostasy, you've got to resist those you see living falsely. There has to be an element of separation from the worldly.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.